Well, a parent's hope for what their child will become is usually that he or she will find a place in the world, a place to belong, a place where they could be who they are. Sometimes we have high hopes for them to be the next great pro athlete or a musician. Sometimes our expectations of them will be that they will follow in our own footsteps. And sometimes our expectations will be that they will be the best, the very best, in their field. Or maybe we just simply want them to be happy. Before Noah and Clara were each born, Melissa and I prayed to God for them. Not that they would be the best athletes or the best artists or the best musicians. Although I'd be lying if I said I didn't secretly want them to be professional soccer players. But our prayers for them were that they would be who God wants them to be. It's the same prayer I prayed to God before meeting Melissa, that I would be the man God wanted me to be for her, and that she would be the woman God wanted her to be for me. In a similar way, that's Zechariah's prayer and prophecy for his son, John. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Zechariah knows that his son is a special blessing to the world. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. Clearly, Zechariah knows that his son will be great, but does he know just how great? Does he know the significance of his particular role? His son is destined for greatness, but not a conventional greatness. In fact, it's the epitome of unconventional, frolicking around the wilderness in nothing but camel hair, eating locusts and wild honey. Not being the one who comes to save the world, but the one who ultimately points to the one who does. Well, let's get a little backstory here. So Zechariah and Elizabeth were among the Jewish upper class. Zechariah was a priest, and Elizabeth was of the lineage of Aaron. They lived their lives as righteous people try to do, following a just life, living blamelessly according to the commandments. Yet despite their best efforts to live like good, upstanding people and contributing members of society, Zechariah and Elizabeth had no children. To make matters worse, Zechariah and Elizabeth were getting up there in age, and as a parent of two little ones, I know why people have children when they are young. Because they simply wear you out. And certainly their window for having children must have been closing. Perhaps Zechariah and Elizabeth were content with their lot in life. Perhaps they had made it through most of their lives accepting that they were probably never going to have children. Maybe they were okay with it. Maybe they were happy living righteously and blamelessly before God. And for them, that was enough. Or maybe they were heartbroken. Maybe they stayed up night after night crying tears of pain, tears of agony, and tears of sorrow. Why doesn't God answer our prayers? We've done everything right. We've done everything we're supposed to. How come our cries fall on deaf ears? The truth is that Scripture doesn't tell us what Zechariah and Elizabeth were feeling. We don't know for sure what their frame of mind was at this point in their lives. What we do know, according to Scripture, is that one day when Zechariah was priest on duty, as chance would have it, he was visited by an angel. Now, while he was working and people were around the temple praying, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Understandably, at least in my understanding, Zechariah was stunned, terrified, and in disbelief. Zechariah couldn't believe what he saw. But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Well, how do you like that? Zechariah and Elizabeth have been faithful and righteous throughout their lives, and then suddenly an angel appears to Zechariah. In shock and disbelief, Zechariah can't believe what the angel Gabriel tells him. "How can Elizabeth and I have a child? Aren't we past our prime? Hasn't the window closed?" Well, sure, God did this before with Abraham and Sarah, but could God possibly do this again? And then, in a cruel twist, the angel seemingly punishes Zechariah for his disbelief, and he becomes mute. In the days following Zechariah's visit from the angel Gabriel, Elizabeth conceives and praises God for looking favorably upon them. A few months later, the angel Gabriel paid Mary, the mother of Jesus, a visit in the Galilean town of Nazareth. Mary, much like Zechariah, was stunned and perplexed by Gabriel's visit. Gabriel tells her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed. Immediately, Mary went to visit Elizabeth and greeted her. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her belly, in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." So when Elizabeth gave birth, she gave birth to a son, and everyone rejoiced with her. And when it came time to circumcise the child and name him, they asked if they were going to name him Zechariah like his father, as was the custom. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name is going to be John." A bit confused, they motioned over to Zechariah to verify what Elizabeth had said. Since he was mute, he asked for something to write, and he wrote, "His name is John." Everyone was amazed, and immediately Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue was freed. And he began to speak and praised God. Everyone was afraid and wondered, "What then will this child become?" Well, we do know what this child will become. He will become John the Baptist. And he will go through the wilderness proclaiming and preparing the way of the Lord. And this morning, we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, also known as Reign of Christ Sunday. It's the last Sunday before the beginning of Advent. We celebrate this day as a reminder that the one who reigns over us has a different kind of power in this world, a different kind of kingdom. At first, I was baffled by the lectionary for this morning. What does Zechariah's song, his prophecy, have to do with this particular Sunday? The answer is that Zechariah's prophecy is our very charge as the body of Christ. This prophecy makes a place for all who cling to God's saving power in Christ Jesus. The prophecy lifts us all up as children in the kingdom of God. We were created, as John was, to prepare the way of the Lord, to use our gifts for the glory of God, to love abundantly and without hesitation, to forgive even in the face of hurt, to comfort even in the face of pain. Brothers and sisters, what then will we become? The question that Zechariah lifts up is a question for us all. What will we become? Will we show people the way of salvation? Will we sit with those who find themselves in the darkness? Will we hold their hands? Will we weep with them? Will we show them love? In this season of thanksgiving and in the incoming season of hope, like John the Baptist, let us be the one who prepares the way for the Lord. Let us share the light that illumines the darkness. Let us be who God created us to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.